Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Welcome to JGB episode 56. Well, this should have been came out a long time ago, but it's spring break. We've been doing stuff, so hey, it's coming out now. Coppin States had they've actually played the start of the next series. Normally, United only play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For some reason, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I didn't see anything that said it was because it was raining on Sunday, so they were starting early. No, JJ. But anyway, so we're going to go back first of all to March 19th. Mount St. Mary's versus Coppin State. We actually went to Mount St. Mary's last year to see one of the games. It wasn't against Coppin State. We were actually listening to this game at Mason's lacrosse game, if you remember. Mm-hmm. This is how long ago this was. It's kind of a while ago. But it was an exciting game. It was getting close. So I had the sound on and I was listening to it. And then eventually I called you over because you like to play with... You just like to walk around the track and play with your lacrosse ball. And so I was like, hey, this is getting exciting. Do you want to come and listen? All right. Do you want to tell us what happened? Both teams actually came into this with only 3 wins, so this is a pretty even game, and I think that's what happened in the end, too.
All right, first game, first inning.
Just a single game.
No, first inning, the 1-2 Coppin.
Mm-hmm.
The second inning, 4-3 mm-hmm. Mount St. Mary's. And then in the third inning, it was 8-7.
Struggling then. Yeah, there's quite a few numbers in this one. Yep.
And in the fifth inning, it was 10-7.
All right, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you there because I have the big inning as this point. So the big inning and the top of the sixth, Mount St. Mary's didn't do anything, and Coppin State came in and they were 10-7 down at this point. So these are just the scoring plays, okay? Marte homered to left field. That's 3 RBIs, so that makes it 10-10. DiVittorio singled to right field, bringing in a run. That's 11-10 Coppin. Kai Holmes singled to right field, 12-10 Coppin. Sam Nieves reached on a fielding error, which allowed DiVittorio to score. Two people scored. Kai Holmes scored as well. So 2 unearned runs on this one. 14-10 Coppin. Sam Nieves stole second, and Gaither scored on a throwing error. So that's another unearned run. 15-10. And then Daniel Moore singled to left field. 16-10. So a 9-run inning for Coppin State. So to help you with your score, and then JJ, it's 16-10 going into the 7th.
All right.
16-10 to Coppin.
All right. The 7th inning, it was 14-16 Coppin.
Yep.
And then in the 9th, it was 17.
What happened in the 8th?
Nothing.
Oh, so Coppin are up by 2 then going into the last inning.
Yeah.
And this is really where I called you over. Now, I seem to remember on some of these that the commentators were very unhappy with some of the calls.
Yeah.
There was one where I think they were trying to bunt, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think they leaned into the pitch.
Yeah,
and
then they saw it was coming towards them, so they kind of leaned in a little.
So, yeah, there was a few calls that they were very, very unhappy with. There was somewhere there was the umpires came in and they went to the first base umpire to make the call, and then they just stuck with the original call. All right, so what happened in the top of the 9th then?
Mount St. Mary scored 3.
Okay, 17, so they're 17-16, and the bottom of the 9th?
Nothing.
Nothing, unfortunately, no. Coppin had 16 runs on 14 hits with 2 errors. Mount St. Mary's only had 9 hits, and they got 17 runs out of it. So something's not going too well there. So I'm going to let you look at the stats for the players, if there's anything you want to talk about. And I'll talk about the pitching for Coppin. Brandon Stevens opened 3 innings, 8 earned runs. Giovanni Canales came in. It looked like just for one ball. I'm not quite sure what happened there. He walked somebody, and then the next pitcher came in. So I don't know if he felt something in his arm, or if it was... I don't know what happened there. Jackson Montgomery, 3 innings, no earned runs in relief. That's very good. Liam McCollum came in, 0.1 of an inning, 3 earned runs. Reagan Rivera took the loss, 2.1 innings, and only 1 earned run. That's kind of harsh. There was 4 runs, but there was errors that led to that. And Klay Thompson came in for the final out. 0.1 innings and no earned runs. All right, any big stats from Coppin? We said there was 14 hits, I think. So
Bryce, Jaden, Victor, Angel, and Kyle had one hit. Damon and Sam had three. Chris and Daniel had two hits.
Are you looking at the right thing to me? Because I say Daniel had three hits.
No, that's runs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say.
Anthony had two hits. Kai had one. Damon had one.
Mm-hmm.
Sam had one. Chris had one.
Sam had two.
Huh?
You said Sam had one, I thought. Perhaps you did say that. One stat that speaks out to me a lot, though, is that the walks. Chris Marte had four walks. That's crazy. And I seem to remember looking at the stats as well. Some of these people had six at-bats. Damon, for example, only had three at-bats. It's like, huh? How do you get three runs and only one hit? Well, of course.
I had five, and Sam had six at-bats.
Yeah.
And so did Dan.
If it's a walk, it doesn't count towards your at-bats. So that's part of the reason for that. But yeah, if I remember at one point, people were getting hit, people were getting walked, and there was one point when, I'm trying to remember who they walked. I think that they walked, did they walk Sam to get to Chris or something? I'm like, Chris is actually doing right. There was one where it was a very dubious one. There was two on and two out, so he decided to load the bases up. I'm like, you're playing against someone who's actually already got some hits against you. I think it was, actually, it might have been Daniel, because I see Daniel has three hits, but I was like, that's a really dangerous one you're going to do there. But I'm also noticing Daniel had two strikeouts, so. Disappointing finish, obviously, for Coppin on this one, particularly with some of those umpiring decisions at the end. 3 hours and 56 minutes that game was long. Whew. Attendance was 100, and it was high 40s, and I think that'll do it for that game. And then we're on to the weekend series. So the Friday game was 3 p.m., and I got out of school a little early. Got you, so yeah, a little early as well.
It was
a little after that.
Oh, wait, no, traffic
was traffic was brutal. I picked you up. We actually got home because we wanted to drop some stuff off, because we were starting our trip to New York, which we'll talk about in the next episode. But yeah, we knew we could get to see the Coppin game on Friday, because we knew we were going to miss the Saturday-Sunday one. So we just about got there in time. We were watching. It looked like originally we were going to be there 5 minutes before, but anyone who knows DC traffic knows it gets worse and worse and worse the closer you get to 5 o'clock. So as time was going, I think we finally got there about 3:10. Now, I actually thought we'd made it for the first pitch. We saw Nico on the mound. It was 0-0. What we didn't realize was we had missed the first inning. There was just literally no runs within that first inning. What about the history of this going into this one? Delaware State, obviously, they were also part of the MEAC as well with Coppin originally.
All right, 66 wins, 124 losses.
Yeah, so obviously things have changed since we've been watching, because I would expect to be beating Delaware State now. I think they've won 5 of the last 6, I think it said, when I looked going into this series. And actually, Delaware State actually has 3 wins in the NEC so far, and Coppin only has 2 in the NEC going into this point. All right, tell us about this one then, JJ. This is one we were at. You might be able to interject a few things as well, things you remember from this game.
The second inning, 3-3 tied.
Now, the thing I remember about this one was Nico was really struggling for his control at this point. And then there was a big, was it a home run? I want to say it was a 3-run home run. I'm trying to remember. There was a big hit to left. And we tried to get...
I think it was like a 2-run homer.
You couldn't get the ball in time. I have a feeling there was 2 on. Anyway, there was definitely a home run. But I have a feeling there was also one of those people who kind of got on base with a walk when it could easily have been a strike 3 as well. So kind of sometimes there's big bats like that, and that was one of those. So anyway, Coppin came back in the bottom of the inning, so tied it up. So 3-3 going into the third. Go ahead, JJ.
In the sixth inning, 5-2-0 Delaware State.
Mm-hmm.
In the seventh inning, it was 6-3 Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And in the eighth, it was 7-3.
And that's the final score. Delaware had 10 hits, just one error. Coppin's bats were really quiet in this game. Just 3 hits. We didn't really get to see much at all for this one, unfortunately. Nico Felber went 6.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 5 walks. That's kind of unusual for Nico. And John Neild came in 2.2 innings, just 1 earned run, which was a good recovery from his previous performance. Any noticeable stats? Probably not too many for this one.
No. A lot of one hits and one runs.
Bryce had 2 of the 3 RBIs. So, yeah, it was kind of limited on this one. Quite a few people with
Angel
no hits.
Angel had 2 walks.
Angel gets quite a few walks, yeah.
And so did Sam.
Hey, so that's important if you can still get on base. I think the important one was, just the other side where they just made the most of those opportunities. There wasn't too many in this game, but that home run was kind of the significant one. Big inning for this one. It wasn't really that big of an inning, to be honest. It was the bottom of the second. Bryce Thompson singled to right field, which got 2 RBIs. Angel scored. Angel advanced to third, and Daniel and Chris Marte scored. And then Black reached first on a fielding error, which allowed Bryce Thompson to advance to third, and then Angel scored, which was an unearned run. So there wasn't really any really big innings. I would say probably, and I'm going to start doing this actually, if the other team has a big inning, I'm going to start talking about that one perhaps. I always like to talk about Coppin's offense if possible. I think it was a 3-run home run. You think it's a 2-run home run? I'm not sure. So the game flew by from my perspective. Like, we normally walk around the stadium a couple of times, and I know you were looking for balls and stuff, and it did. It was 2 hours and 19 minutes, which, hey, it was good that we got to travel up to New Jersey. We got to head up the road a little bit earlier, but yeah, not great. I'm trying to remember, what do we do for dinner? I don't remember.
I think it was Wendy's.
Oh, it was, because we had the spicy nuggets, and then we just got them in a bag, and then we took them with us.
Yeah.
Oh, I had
we
to
got
stop,
the cookies.
And I had to stop at Walmart, because the temperatures in New York were supposed to be like a high of 30 and a low of 19. And then I realized, oh, I didn't bring a coat. I was like, what was I? Anyway, I tried at the Coppin game, because it wasn't that warm. What does it say here? Overcast and chilly. I tried wearing 2 hoodies. Like, I picked out a smaller hoodie and a bigger hoodie, and that worked okay. But I'm like, if it's snowing, and it was supposed to be 7 inches of snow, we could be in trouble. So yeah, we stopped. Anyway, we headed up to New York. We were supposed to be reviewing a game there. We'll come back to that on the next episode, JJ. So Coppin took a loss in game 1. What about in game 2? And these games, if I remember correctly, were both on Sunday. I think they were both on Sunday.
The attendance for the last one was 56.
Oh, it was? Oh, I didn't notice that at all.
So it was kind of exact.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get to the next one. Not so exact.
And then the time's also kind of going short, too.
So I'm trying to look. This was a start time at 12. Yeah, I have a feeling this was Sunday, because all on Saturday, it was torrential rain all along the East Coast. A lot of games play. Oh, I know what happened. I was hoping that the Coppin were going to play 2 on the Friday, so we could see 2, and then 1 on the Sunday. But they did it the other way around. Coppin's softball team actually did 2 on the Friday. So I don't know why the baseball team did not, but hey. All right. It might have been they couldn't get there that early. That might have been one of the reasons. Although Delaware's not that. Nah, Delaware State's pretty close. All right. Go ahead. Talk us through game 2, JJ.
All right. First inning, Coppin up 1.
Mm-hmm.
Third inning, Coppin up 4.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth inning, Coppin up by 1. 4-3.
And then going into the ninth, this is where we get nervous with Coppin.
Nothing.
Because, well, this time it was nothing, thankfully, but the number of times where that's kind of changed. Delaware actually had more hits. They had 8 hits, but they also had 2 errors. Coppin had 7 hits and no errors, which is important. High 40s and sunny on this one. Alec Elgus took the win. That's his first win for Coppin State. That might be his first win in college baseball. We know sometimes people transfer. 7 innings, 3 earned runs, just 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. And we know walks have been kind of a bit of an issue at some points. And Clay Thompson took the save. 2 innings, no hits, no earned runs. So, yeah, great pitching performance, and the bats did Just about enough on this one. The big inning for me was obviously the one, the third inning. Coppin State were up 1-0. Marte doubled to right centre, which allowed Gaither to score. Angel reached on a fielding error, but Nieves scored on that play. And then Angel stole second, Marte stole home, double steal. Unearned run, and that took it to 4-0. Any notable performances from the bats of Coppin there, JJ? See, three people with two hits for starters.
Anthony, there was only seven. Anthony Damon and Chris all got two. And Kai got one.
Yeah. Looking on the other side, the top of the lineup was really the best for Delaware State. Giancarlo Colon had two hits. And Kodai Yeota, I think it is. Apologies if I get that wrong. Actually, it might be Yeota, had three hits. And, yeah, the bottom of the lineup kind of struggled. The last seven people who were batting, yeah, they only had three hits total, whereas Kodai had three all by himself. Okay, what about the last game then? So this was the 3:15 start.
So time was 2:22, and the attendance was 100.
Yeah, and these have to be nine-inning matches, even if it's a doubleheader, because it's NEC play.
All right. Fourth inning, 1-0 Delaware State.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth inning, 2-1 Coppin.
Yep.
Sixth inning, 4-1 Coppin.
Yep.
Seventh inning, 4-2 Coppin. In the eighth, it was 7-2 Coppin.
And that was the final. That made it a little easier when you went in 7-2. Winning pitcher was Caden Straley, which is his first win for Coppin as well. Five innings, one earned run, just one walk, three strikeouts. And Liam came in for the save, four innings of relief, one earned run, and a couple of strikeouts in there as well. Now, one thing I missed on one of our reviews, JJ, and it was because the... if you remember, we recorded, but then it didn't record. Yeah. We had to re-record. One of the things I really wanted to talk about in the George Mason game was how impressed I was with Caden Straley. Now, the reason I'm saying I was impressed, he did not have a good start that game, unfortunately. The previous game, he had a phenomenal... he came in relief. This one did not do so well. So why was I so impressed? Even though he had a bad outing himself, he was constantly supporting the next pitcher. And I'm not just talking occasionally. It was every pitch. Like, Jackson, you got this. I'm trying to remember who came in. Jackson Montgomery was the next person that came in. Oh, Justin Ritz came in as well. Like, he was constantly cheering everybody. It was really good to see. And on a game, if you remember the George Mason game, Coppin didn't really do too well in that game. But the whole time, he was really positive. And it's really good when you've got players like that who can support the team that whole time. Constantly like, yeah, you got this. You good. Keep throwing them. It was really great to see. Any particular batters from this one that stood out for you?
No.
Not so many hits this time. Anthony got two more hits again. Damon had two hits. So Anthony's doing pretty well right now. I think he has the highest average on the Coppin team. His on-base percentage is nearly 500. It was like 480 when I looked the other day. One player had a slightly higher average, but he'd only had like three at-bats. So you can't really include that one, unfortunately.
Nine hits for Delaware, five hits for Coppin. Yep. Three errors for Delaware.
Three errors for can really cost them in this one. Yeah, if you're getting five hits and you're getting seven runs, something's gone wrong in that one. But yeah, I would say Coppin gave up some hits, nine, but they managed to spread them out just like one or two at a time. They only gave two runs total, so that was really helpful. We will talk about some more Coppin games in the next episode. But for the college this week, I did not want to do the whole bracket because it takes way too long. 64 teams. You got to make 32 predictions in the first round, 16 in the second time. By the time we've read those out, it will be forever. So, unfortunately, we had problems. We're recording on the Friday. We were supposed to record on the Thursday, but there were some printout errors. So I made my predictions ahead of time, and then we just wrote them in this morning. I knew you wouldn't know any of the scores anyway.
I don't really follow it.
Correct. So I knew it wouldn't be a problem. But I thought you might like to do it just for fun anyway. We do actually know four of the results, though, now by recording later than we were supposed to. And when we do the next episode, we'll know all the results from the Sweet 16. So basically, the points are, you normally get 1 point for a correct prediction, and then it doubles each subsequent round until you get to the final. Now, we're only doing this from the Sweet 16, so it'll be 1 point for the first round, two if you win an Elite Eight match, four if you win the Final Four match, and then eight if you're actually the national champion, okay? So, As we're going through, JJ, we'll say what the predictions were, and then we'll say the final score. So we're going on the left-hand side. So number one, UConn versus number five, San Diego State. I picked UConn for this one.
Yeah, same.
It was an easy one, this one. 82-52. Yeah. One of my students at school actually having UConn to win the whole thing this year.
Yeah.
And you said, that's the Huskies, right? I was like, yeah, you're right, that's the Huskies. All right, next one was Illinois versus Iowa State. 3 Illinois, 2 Iowa State. This is obviously a close one.
I chose Iowa.
I actually did choose Illinois for this one, and it was close. It was 72-69, so I got my first two picks through. Bottom half, my team, really, North Carolina versus Alabama. This was a tough one. Alabama beat North Carolina earlier in the year, and actually Alabama were favorites going into this one, despite the ranking. I picked North Carolina, but yeah, I did too. Not think that they would get any further than that. And you picked them as well, and they lost. They lost 87-89, so it was a close game. I didn't think they were going to get much further. They just had some losses recently where I didn't think they were going to be national champions. And then the last one from the West Division was Clemson versus Arizona.
Clemson.
You picked Clemson. I picked Arizona. And it was close, though. I know ACC teams have been doing pretty good. And you're right. Clemson won 77-72. So right now, JJ, how many teams did you pick correctly? I picked two. I think you did two. I think you picked two as well.
Two, yeah.
So we both got 2 points so far. The game's coming up tonight then, so on the right-hand side. Houston versus Duke.
Duke.
I got Houston for that. I had Houston to win it all last year and was wrong. And number 11, NC State versus number 2, Marquette.
Marquette.
I picked NC State. That might be my... And if you look at the ranking, but NC State beat UNC in the ACC tournament. They haven't lost in a tournament game in like 6 or 7 now. So they're on a really good run. So we'll see how that turns out. In the bottom half from the Midwest, which is Detroit, which you noticed, Purdue versus Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
I went with Purdue on that one, but it could be close. And then the other one that's going to be close, Creighton versus Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I went with Creighton, but Creighton's 3, Tennessee's 2. We'll have to see. Can you tell me your final 4? Oh, actually, hold on. So we got to pick who we had. So I had UConn versus Illinois, and I had UConn to win that one. I have Houston versus NC State, and I have Houston to win. I had Alabama versus Arizona. Sorry, I had North Carolina versus Arizona, but I had Arizona to go through because I said I didn't think UNC were going to do as well. And then I had Purdue versus Creighton. I had Purdue. I have Purdue and Houston in the final four in the in for the national championship, and I have Houston as my overall champions. So, do you want to tell us who you have for your final four?
So I have UConn and Duke. So we
agree on that one.
UNC and Gonzaga.
All right, and who do you have in the national championship?
Duke.
And Duke and UNC, and then you have Duke to win it all. Yeah. I said, I think you set that up.
It's already not Duke and UNC.
Well, it won't be, no. So, yeah, that your bracket has already been a little bit busted, but we'll have to see. If you pick, you do have a different national champion to me, so if you can pick the national champion, you get 8 points. So it's almost impossible for, if you don't pick the national champion, it's almost impossible not to win, if the other person does. So anyway, we'll revisit that, and we'll come back to it. Now, I'm guessing you don't have a name game for me, JJ, I am guessing.
No.
Last episode, it was E, no middle name, B. That was Ernie Banks, which High Five Tom did call. And you said, he seems to be getting a bit too easy. Yes. We need to find one that's a little bit more difficult. And anyway, you did find one that was a little bit more difficult. Yay. But before we get to that, I have one for you. Okay, yours for this week is T. Samuel W. And I have clues if you need them. All right, first clue, there's no trick on this one.
All right.
So TW are the proper initials, as you would think, for this person. All right, played for just one team and in 4 different decades, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. That should help you to narrow down a little bit now what type of player we're talking about.
All right, Ted Williams.
Correct. The other clues.
It was the long career.
The other clues were going to be a 19-time All-Star, considering how many times he went to war as well.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he played in like that's such a long period. He played in 1939 was his debut season, yeah. And he retired in 1960. So that's kind of how he managed to spread it into 4 decades. This was the key fact that I didn't know, but I thought was really cool. His career batting average at .344 is the highest of any MLB player whose career was played primarily in the live ball era. So people in the dead ball era where the ball didn't used to do much, like Ty Cobb's way ahead of Ted Williams. Like his lifetime average is like .370 or something, which is just insane. But a totally different era. All right. Now, The one that we have then for people who want to play along this week is H. Peter Henry R. H. Peter Henry R. And we got a couple of clues, JJ. One, he played for a New York team in the 1940s and 50s. That narrows it down to four, I think. And he's a Hall of Famer who got his nickname from being a marbles champion. And I thought that clue probably wouldn't be that helpful for you. That was my interesting fact that I found out about this person as I was looking. So, H. Peter Henry R. played for the New York team in the 40s and 50s. Hall of Famer, got his nickname from being a champion marbles player. And we'll give the answer out on the next episode. Outro music, JJ. Oh, before you do, I owe you an apology. On one of your podcasts you used to do when you were very young, right at the end, you used to say, "What about?" I know you don't. And my joke has always been on JGB. Right at the end, you play the music, and then to get you to stop, I say, "What about?" And you always say, "Edit that out," and I always do, except I forgot to on the last episode. So I normally listen back a week later just to see, and I was like, "Oops, I forgot." Everyone's gonna be like, "Why didn't you just go what a blue?" So I wanted to explain why I did it. All right, proper outro music, and I won't be silly this week. What was this outro music?